I have asked John Kimmel about a first-time starter or two in my life, especially when I was younger, and he always shot straight with me. So, John, Anthony Stabil, Jude Feld here. Congratulations on Bar of Gold.
Thank you. Can you hear me all right?
We got you, John.
Cell phone.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah. Good connection.
Like I said, you know, John always a straight shooter. Thanks for Bye Bye Baby about 6 years ago, a first to beat the boys. But, you know, that's the kind of guy John is. John, this Philly, a real shock, obviously, when you pay $135, but a heck of a place to win her first open company race. She had only beaten New York Reds up until this point.
Well, you know, I could have seen her being 25 or 30 to 1. 50 to 1, 60 to 1, 66 to 1. You know, it's kind of a bias based on what you see sometimes on those Breeder Cup days. A lot of money going in on the horses that look good on the form straight away. And, you know, she benefited from that discrepancy.
Did she train as good as... as good as she looked to me in the mornings, John? Were you happy with the way she was going at Del Mar?
Oh, she was awesome. She was really, really great. You know, the whole kicker and the whole thing, I thought she was in great form pretty much all season. I headed down to the race down at Keeneland. Comes up wet. Everybody's looking at her off-racetrack form. She's won 5 out of 6. And the track was obviously bad. I had instructed the new rider, Luis Saez, because Irad couldn't make the trip, to do what Irad does. And he takes that filly, warms him up with the pony, and then he leaves the pony, and she's such a class act. He keeps her moving and jogging. It seems to have helped her on the break. She's just been sharper off the break. So I relay this information, reiterate it to Saez in the paddock. I'm watching it. It's a horrible weather day. The track is sloppy. And basically, he walked for about 6 minutes prior to post with the horse and the pony. Just never did anything like I said. And it was like, what are you going to do at that point? She broke slow. Never seemed like she got involved, got hung wide. And at that point, you scratch your head and, I don't even know what we're going to do now. Certainly, Breeders' Cup was not in the back of my mind. So we ship back to New York. Irad comes, works her 14 days later, gets a nice workmanlike work. And a week later, we're going to have to make a decision because Mr. Broman said, look, we're going to put the money up for the pre-entry. I said, well, I don't really know if we're going to go. She's really got to show me something special. We work on Saturday, and if she works well and I'm happy, then we'll go. So we work it that Saturday, and, I mean, she was lights out fantastic. She worked 47 and change on the training track, out in 59 and change, out in 112 and change. And Irad came back with a big smile and said, man, she feels just as good as they can feel. So I said to Mr. Broman, I know she's going to be a big price. If you want to put the money up, I think she's doing well enough to go. And off we went.
And, John, you might not remember this, but I saw you a few days after the Spinster right outside the racing office at Belmont, and you and I had talked about what you were going to do with her next, and you never, true to what you said, you never even mentioned the Breeders' Cup. I think after that performance, you probably, the Breeders' Cup was the furthest thing from your mind, but this is a great example of how she came back around and essentially earned her way into the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint.
I think it really, you know, she showed that she was training like she had been most of the season. She's just a wonderful sound, trains well, breezes awesome kind of horse. And Mr. Broman's prodding, he said, I know I have another horse in the race. What's the big deal? How many chances are we going to get? He said, look, if she's doing well, I'll put the money up. Let's go. Let's go. And, you know, it really was more of a combination of things, him prodding me to give it a go and the filly doing good at the time. And off we went. And we got there, and a girl that had galloped for me for many years when I had a division down at Fair Hill named Tracy Brown Price, she was out there with a John Thompson horse that was running in the juvenile turf race. And I called her up and asked her if she would get on the filly for me. And every day she would get back to me until I got there on Wednesday. That's, oh, my God, the filly feels great. She loves this racetrack and just was continually giving me a string of compliments and positive accolades that the horse is just doing really, really well. And when I got out there on Wednesday, you could just see, you know, she just kind of blossomed. The groom said, I don't know what it is. She's eating the bottom out of the feed tub. She's getting an extra scoop at night. She's cleaning that up. She's just very happy out there. So, I mean, you hear all those things, and the real trial is in the doing. But I was just hoping that she would go out there and give us a really good performance and not embarrass our efforts.
But you know, another thing that when people look at her form for the Breeders' Cup, she kind of looks like she's a route horse, and now she's running in a sprint race. But she was a crack sprinter when she was younger. I mean, she was one of the best fillies around, going short, and you know, she had the credentials to fire in the 7/8 race for sure.
Yeah, you know, she was second in the test. She was second in the Poirus to the nice filly of McLaughlin's called Cavorting. And, you know, she stretched out as she got older and seemed, and she was so versatile. She could do so many things. But one of the training angles that I found very useful for me, winning the test twice over the course of my career, was taking horses out of mile races and shortening them up. And, you know, that was kind of the scenario here as well. She'd been running long all year. She did sprint in the race. We were there with your dad. And that was the Presque Isle race, which is now the earmark race for running in the Philly.
Yeah.
Sprint race. It's like, I was looking. I was shocked at how many horses come out of that race and run big in the Breeders' Cup. I think it was Groupie Doll a couple times. This filly,
the second filly too. The second filly beat you.
Yeah, that one was in there.
Amise Mesa.
Amise Mesa, and I think there was a couple other ones that I didn't recall. But when I saw the article, there was like five horses that had you know, all performed big in that particular race. Groupie Doll twice it was. Anyway, she really benefited from what I thought was a really quick early fractions, and any horses that were trying to chase down Unique Bella, you know, not letting the horse get too far away, paid the price. And it was like the perfect setup for us. She broke sharp. She settled. She dropped back to next to last at the half-mile marker, and she looked comfortable to me. It didn't look like her head was up or like she was struggling or anything. She was just in a nice rhythm. So when he asked her, she found a beautiful seam along the inside, and she's got such a great turn of foot that she's displayed in races on the dirt and the grass, that she made that great inside-outside move, and then it was just a matter of whether she would get there. Where I was standing, I couldn't tell. But it became almost surreal at that point, going, oh, my God, 66-1 shot. I'm going to win the Breeders' Cup.
You did a great job getting her ready, John, but you mentioned the ride. I mean, Arad Ortiz Jr., just one of the best rides of the weekend, just sitting chilly and saving the ground. And obviously, saving the ground helped. You get up by a nose, half a head. Obviously, every inch mattered, and he gave this filly a brilliant ride last Saturday.
No questions about it. Actually, I didn't mention this earlier, but one of the big factors in us making the decision to go was that Irad was open in this particular Breeders' Cup event. So that played big too in our decision to go, because those two have a tremendous rapport, and it sure gave me a little more confidence, because there have been plenty of riders that have ridden her that races that I thought she might have performed better where she didn't was due to problems between rider and horse.
It's always good to take one. It's always good to take that off the table. Is when you can find a marriage like that. And Arada's ridden her brilliantly a bunch of times. They won on the turf together in the Yadu. Like you mentioned, her versatility. She has that dry track win now, but always loved the wet track. Ran very well on the turf, long, short. There really wasn't much this filly could do. And now we'll go see what she could do as far as being a broodmare. She's off to join the Broman's band. Yes.
Yep. The word is that she might be leaving as soon as tomorrow. So she'll be going, getting under lights, and probably get an early cover. And I'm not sure they've selected a stallion at this point, but hope she makes a good mommy.
All right. Hopefully we'll see Barbara Gold's offspring in the John Kimmel Bond. John, great job with this filly. Now, You've had all sorts of good horses in your life, but of course you think back to Hidden Lake and Flat Feet. Another fantastic training job with a filly. Bar of Gold upset the filly and mare sprint at the Breeders' Cup. John, thanks for some time today. I know you got a busy morning with the rest of your sets. Thanks again.
Yeah, it's cold here, I can tell you that. It's about 16. I'm walking with my to the training track, and my right hand is frozen.
Sorry you had to hold the phone up so
long. Looking forward to coming south.
Yeah. Florida, here we
well,
come.
Thanks, guys. What a thrill. And I was lucky enough to have my son, who lives in California, be there in attendance. And you know, just a great moment for everybody and the team and racing. You know, you've been in this game as long as I have, and you've skirted success in that Breeders' Cup. I was a second in the Juvenile and third in the Classic, but getting my first one is pretty special.
Well, didn't happen to it. A nicer guy.
Yeah. Great job,
well, thanks.
John. Thanks, thanks for everything.
I heard from your dad, too. He texted me. You know, he helped me out with the filly when I was at Presque Isle.
Oh yeah, all right, for when you went up for the Masters. Yeah, remember the Scatman Dew story.
Oh yeah,
when he got loose. That
sure.
John had a really good 2-year-old named Scatman Dew back in, oh man, that had to be back in the 90s at this point. And he got loose one morning, and him and my dad were trying to get a horse sold, and Scatman Dew comes running down the road by the Morning Line Kitchen in the backstretch, and my dad, I was with my father. My dad gets out of the car and he gets in front of him and snatches him down, and here comes John in the Mercedes flying around a turn, and he sees my father in the middle of the road holding Scatman Dew. He's like, Tony, you know what that is? My father had no idea what it was. It was a horse. You know what I mean? He's like, no, I saw it. That's Scatman Dew, the filly sold. Yeah. Come pick the check up this afternoon. That was a great story. It was a long time ago. John, thanks for everything. Congratulations.
All right,
enjoy
guys.
The success.
Enjoy your day.
All right.
Take care.